spend 5 weeks, last week we started the series, spend 5 weeks on Psalm 139. I love this psalm. There's so much packed into Psalm 39. Psalm 39 is a celebration, really, of Scripture, but even more, it's a celebration of the love of God, the God of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we looked at last week, verses 1 through 4, and you can turn there, Psalm 139 in your Bibles. That's 643 in your pew Bible, to take a look at this passage. But last week we looked at the beginning, verses 1 through 4, and we saw evidences of God's love through his knowledge of us. That every little detail, what we think, what we say, and what we do, God knows. This week we're going to look at another evidence of God's love, his presence with us. So I'd like to read Psalm 139, 5 through 12. It says this: "You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." This is continuing Psalm 139, and it has this chase element, this idea of God pursuing us. The heart of the text is a chase. It's like, where can I run from you, God? If it's into the depths, you are there. If you rise on the wings, you are there. If you settle on the far side of the sea, the complete other part of this earth, you are there. God is present. He's there when it is pitch dark out there. This idea, this omnipresence of God. Now here's what I get when I looked at some of the commentaries this week on Psalm 139 and some of these verses. I have to admit to you that they didn't stir my heart. Because what I read sometimes when we read commentaries and theologians put things down about different passages, what I felt like was that these theologians were sucking the heart out of this passage. They would talk about the attributes of God. They make these technical terms. They would use this word omnipresent. And they would say, well, technically, God is everywhere. It's part of who he is. He has to be with you. It's a function of his being. And I'm saying, no, you missed out. You have missed the point of Psalm 139. He wants to be with you. He conveys his presence. You can run. You can hide. You can never shake him. God loves you so much. He will not leave your side. His presence is evidence of his affection for each one of us. One of these phrases, though, stood out to me this week. It's the first one. It says, if I went up to the heavens, you were there. And then when you hear these words, if you went up to the heavens, it's not heaven, eternal home, that is being described here. The ancients used this word heavens to describe outer space, out there someone. And the ancients I was reading that's talked about, what happens in the outer space, out in the skies, the sun, the moon, the stars. And they would say, if they could go to outer space, if they could experience outer space, the psalmist David said, God would be there. Now, in our generation, this theory has been tested. We have sent people to outer space. The Apollo 15 mission, people walked on the moon. In fact, 12 people have walked on the moon. Was God with them? And the answer is yes. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about James Irvin. He was the 8th man to walk on the moon. James Irvin dreamt from little on up that he wanted to be an astronaut. His aspiration was to go to the moon. He was obsessed with rocket ships and outer space. But he wasn't really that obsessed with God. He married a Christian woman, and he admits in his biography that his wife dragged him to church. And if you would ask him whether he believed that God existed, he would say yes. But it wasn't until he took that trip to the moon. 3 days he spent on the moon. And he said God met him on the moon. His spiritual life was transformed. It didn't happen for Jim down here, but it happened to Jim up on outer space. And Jim said, I can't explain it, but he said, God never felt closer. He said, I never felt the presence of God like I felt when I was on the moon. It was so much this presence of God that Jim talked about these times where he would be on that Apollo mission. And at times he could feel the presence of God coming over him. In fact, he said it was so real that at times he had to turn around and look, because he thought God might be right behind him. He felt that presence so much. Now, I don't think you have to go to the moon to experience the presence of God. But, just in case, if you want to go to the moon, I think soon, if you want to fork over $2 million... that possibility is probably going to be there for you. But the key was not that he had to go to the moon. The difference was not in God, but it was in Jim. I mean, God is everywhere. He's in the moon. He's here today. He's with us. But for Jim, it was a change of his own heart. He said that the glory of God shone upon him, and he looked at the created universe from his vantage point. He said the creator, God, became so amazing to him. In Psalm 19, we hear these words, that the earth shouts. And for Jim, the earth shouted when he saw creation. And he said creation became real to him, and he realized that God is real and alive. But for many of us, creation is sort of there, right? It's just part of our life that we go through. It doesn't seem to shout out like it used to. But when Jim got on another world, he saw a different perspective. He saw the freshness of God. And he said it changed his life. See, many of us, when we talk about the moon and the stars and different things, we talk about the mountains, and we talk about experiences in Alaska, we talk about these different experiences. But many a times we're just caught up in the routines, aren't we? Life is busy. The normal ups and downs of life. Jim got away from his routine. And it was in that isolation that he was receptive to things that he normally wouldn't be receptive to. And he's receptive to those things in those hardships that he experienced while on that mission. And he said he cried out to God. And he cried out to God in desperation, in prayer. He could have experienced all of this on earth, but he said he experienced this on the moon. See, each one of us has a sixth sense. We have our senses and our abilities. We can interact, and the reality is that we have smell and touch and taste. But this thing that Jim experienced, this faith, is God has given us this sixth sense of faith in our own DNA. But like so many things in life, that if we don't use it, if we don't practice it, if we don't pray, if we don't interact with God every day, it's like muscles that aren't being used. They just sort of deteriorate. But for many of us, we need to get out of the routine of life. It doesn't take us going to the moon. It might take a moment to step out of our routine and go somewhere and experience something different. That we can understand the magnitude of what God has done for us. We can grasp the sense of his reality. That our faith can grow. That we can lean in to God. Because God is always leaning in to us. You see, that's my prayer. My prayer for me as I go through the daily times of life and the ups and downs and the routines, I want a fresh awakening of the presence of God. I want to feel that God is here. You know, God is invisible. Yes, he's invisible. And many times, well, God just seems invisible to me. Yes, he is. But when you trust him, he can be found. And if he is with us, if he's truly have the presence of God in us and through us and around us, if that's true, then what should we be looking for? What is he doing in this scripture of Psalm 139? What does the psalmist David see that has grasped him? And I think it has several things. The first one is this. It says, you hem me in, behind and before. This idea of protection, this hedge of protection. I mean, we see on TV the Secret Service around the President of the United States. And you see, whenever something maybe goes wrong or something happens, what do you see? You see all of these Secret Service put a hedge of protection around the President to protect him. You see, we have that same peace. The realization that God has hemmed himself around each one of us. And so God, out of his love for us, has hemmed us in, protecting us. James Irvin, when they interviewed his wife, they asked, were you freaking out when he went on this mission? This most dangerous mission? Were you panicking? And she said this, she goes, I enjoyed watching the Apollo 15 flight on TV. God was there holding my hand. I had no feeling of fear at all. His presence was so near to me. I felt like God was surrounding himself with me. And aren't we excited too when we know this hedge of protection around our loved ones? Then he goes on to say, he says, lay your hands on me. This gentle touch. Do you know this gentle touch is so important? This tender expression of God's love? Let me tell you what I see every Sunday. Well, maybe not every Sunday. But this is what I see. From my vantage point up here out to you, this is what I see. As I'm preaching and I'm looking around at different people, all at once I see this husband go, put his arm around his wife. And it makes me smile at times. I have to still preach, but it makes me smile. Or I'll see a wife go and put her hand and touch her husband. Or I'll see a child, and I'll see the child doing something, and I'm watching you guys. You don't think I'm watching. I'm watching you, all right? So look out. But I'm watching you, and I see a hand. I see a parent touching the child, and a smile coming across their face. You see, when I see that on a Sunday morning, that's like what God does for us. He reaches out and he touches us. He puts his arms around us. This tender affection of God, where he's saying by touch, I love you. And the question is, will you embrace that? Will you bask in it? And then going on, James Ehrman, when he said, when he looked at the earth, he says that when I was up in space and I looked back on planet Earth, he says, I got a glimpse, just a small glimpse of God's perspective. Through God's eyes, I experienced things about God. And he said, this thought came over me. He says, oh my, does God ever love us? And he said, I bask in the affection of God. I enjoy God's nearness. And I felt the love of God. I felt that God touched me at that moment. And I pray that you may have the sense of the touch of God in the spiritual realm. That you, when you need a hug, God is there. When you need a touch, to someone to just put a little touch on you, God is there. He's conveying his affection for you. And then also, he guides us. It says, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. Has a child ever asked you, Mom or Dad, what does this sound like when God talks to you? Have you ever been posed that question? That's a good question. It's a good question from a child. It's a good question for us to ask. And I think, how do we answer that? I think we answer it this way. We say, well, no, we don't really hear anything, but something pops into our head that lines up with Scripture. It's some thought that's not yours, but it's from God. And you recognize these are divine thoughts, gives you direction. When Jim Irvin was up there in those 3 days up in the moon, he ran into some problems, mechanical and technical problems. And he wasn't trained to fix some of these problems. He said, I could have called Houston, but he said back in that time, the signal back to Earth and then back again was too much time. And so he said, I called God. And Jim says this, I could see several ways to solve these mechanical problems, but I wanted to know the best way. I prayed, and immediately I knew the answer. I'm not talking about some vague sense of direction. God was telling me what to do. And he said, to be honest with you, it freaked me out a bit. He says, on the moon, and here I am among God, and I felt his presence. But I also felt the presence of his guiding voice. And he goes on, your right hand will hold me fast. In the ancient times, when we hear about the right hand, in that culture, the right hand symbolizes power. That God's power will come to bear. He will help us to endure the challenges that comes our way. To realize is that we are being carried by God's power that is not our own. And when that happens, you have experienced that, haven't you, at times? You've experienced that moment where something is the power that is not your own, carries you through. More on Jim Irvin's story. Being up there for that time, up on the Apollo 15 mission, they worked 24 hours a day. They had little sleep. And one thing they didn't realize in this mission, which would not happen today, is this, that Jim was under immense stress. And they didn't realize this, but Jim had a bad heart. He had defects in his heart. And his heart was racing. And some of the vital signs they were getting back to Earth told them that he was on the verge of a massive heart attack. And they wondered and they pondered, do we tell him? Do we tell him that he's on the verge of a massive heart attack? And they decided, well, if we tell him, the stress will probably be worse and that he might end up actually having a heart attack. But when he got home and they came, they checked out his heart and they found this deep defect. And Jim says, as I look back now, he says, I noticed the power of God was working in me the whole time. God's right hand was holding me steadfast. He says, in my hardships, the strength came not from my own, but from God. And then the last one is this. It says, surely the darkness will hide you. The darkness then is God's presence will not be there. That's what it suggests, but they're wrong. It says the nights will shine like the day. When God is with you, God brightens your day. Have you ever heard someone say, like so-and-so, whenever they walk into a room, they light up the room. Maybe you know people like that. They light up the room. God's presence lights up your life. And so many times when we think about our jobs and we're having bad days and things are boring, or we're a stay-at-home mother and all the responsibilities overwhelm us, when we add God and his awesome presence and the privilege that we know that he's walking with us, he's talking with us, he's the maker of the universe is with us, it makes an otherwise dull, boring day extraordinary. And then Jim also says this. He says, the days I spent on the moon was the best days of my life. Not because I was there, but because God was there. Not the circumstances of being on the moon, but being in the presence of God just blew me away. He said, God lit up that time in my life. Isn't it wonderful when God, tangible touch, tangible presence of God in our lives, that tangible realizing that God is with us. Well, prior to being on the moon, Jim was obsessed with being an astronaut. He was consumed about it day and night. He wanted to be an astronaut, and he did. But 1 year after he returned from that mission, he quit. He quit. He was just a young man. But he said, I wanted to be a pastor because I wanted to convey that the most important thing is to understand the presence of God in my life. And Jim goes on to say, before the flight, I was not really a religious man, but when I came back from the moon, I felt so strong that I had something I wanted to share with others. I needed to tell all the people everywhere that God is alive. See, his whole purpose shifted. Now, I'm not saying that you're supposed to quit your day job and become a pastor. But the purpose for living can and will change. The things that used to consume us, that used to take all of our time and energy, seem to wane. And we start wanting more and more of God in our lives. And we have this light and dark, this tangible enjoyment of the presence of God. And when that happens, and we experience that presence, whether it's in the darkness, whether it's at the moon, whether it's on the far ends of the earth, the psalmist David says, I am with you. My presence is there with you. And so let's pray. God, whether you're far or near, whether in the light or the dark, whether we're up or we're down, like the psalmist David in this incredible psalm, enjoyed your presence. Lord, I don't know if everyone is there at the same point where the psalmist David was, where he says, it's just, my knowledge of you, God, is just too wonderful for me. I mean, it's overwhelming. It's hard for me to even comprehend. It's too lofty for me to even obtain. I don't know where each one is there today, Lord. And Lord, we don't even deserve your presence, but we receive it. And Lord, we know that you are always there, that you lean into us. And Lord, your invitation is for us to lean into you, to build our faith, to enjoy your presence in the good times and the not so good times. That you are the maker of all things, and that you are not a God that just exists, but we can experience your existence in our lives. Lord, I am so excited that the presence of God can be among us here today and in this coming week. I pray is that we might experience that presence that the psalmist David was so overwhelmed by. That is my prayer for all of us. Amen.